I don't know who did it, but thank you. It was very nice. But what is faith? That's our topic for today. What is faith? The writer of the letter to the Hebrews described it as the assurance of things hoped for. So there's some words there that we can look at, assurance of things hoped for. And some might say that this is something that happens in our minds. On one level, faith is a kind of knowing. So if you're assured that something is going to happen, you know that it is going to happen. If I set a timer on my lights at home, I have assurance that they are going to come on at a certain time, whether I am there or not, whether I am there or not. I just know that that's going to happen. In our Christian tradition, faith also involves knowing certain things. We know that the Bible is the Word of God that contains all things necessary for salvation. We know that Jesus is fully God and fully human, which allows us to know God in a very profound and intimate way. Without faith, we may hope for these sort of things, but with faith, we know them with certainty and the assurance of them. Another way I've been exploring what faith means is kind of a sixth sense, something that helps us take in information about the world, but not in the normal sense of the term, but kind of in a spiritual way. Our normal senses are how we gather information about things. If I feel a gentle hand on my shoulder, I may know that someone friendly is nearby. If I smell some muffins baking in the oven, or smell some coffee brewing in the commons, know that food and fellowship is before me. But it's just a way of gathering information. Faith works in a similar way that helps us to gather spiritual information about the world. If you remember from last week, faith is one of the supernatural virtues, the other two being hope and love. But the supernatural virtues are those that are given to us from God, that God just gives them to us, and along with all of their implications, we just receive them by grace. The gift of faith acts upon our intellect and helps us to know things that go above and beyond what we might know with our five senses. And we get some great examples of this in our gospel story today. This episode that we just read about, this is still in the wilderness, this is still with John the Baptist, and it takes place immediately after last week's lesson about Christ's baptism. So Jesus was in the area for a while. Last week he was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, and everyone heard the voice of God the Father. This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. There is certainly some ordinary information being communicated, and some extraordinary information as well. The people could see the dove, and they could hear the voice. But faith took these things to another level. Because of faith, John the Baptist could say, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And when you think about it, there is another step that takes place. You know, he sees the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, he hears the voice, and then there's that next step, which faith informs him that this Jesus is the Lamb of God. Through his sense of sight, he would have seen a dove, but by faith, he would have perceived it to be the Holy Spirit. Through his sense of hearing, he would have heard the voice, but by faith, he would have understood this voice to be God the Father. By spending time with Jesus and baptizing him, John would have learned a lot about Jesus the man, but by faith, he would have understood him to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, a skeptical person might say, well, yeah, okay, this is what you believe, or to me this is just superstition, or nonsense, or mumbo-jumbo. A really unkind person might suggest that it's all made up, and that this faith stuff is simply naive or untrue. That does beg the question for us, what is the difference between something that we learn by faith and something that is, say, superstition? And for that, we would need to go a little bit deeper. One of the metrics in theology, one of the common metrics, is that the things of God are three things. They are true, they are good, and they are beautiful. And for the sake of today, let's start with the latter two, what is good and beautiful. Because, you know, with these objections, you might say the truth of it is being brought into question. If what is revealed by faith increases our sense of goodness, or paints a picture of something that is more beautiful than we would have thought otherwise, we can reasonably assume that it's true. John the Baptist declared Jesus to be the one who takes away the sins of the world, so let's unpack that a bit. You know, that is a statement of faith. So what is sin? Sin is something that misses the mark, and in doing so, diminishes our dignity as human beings. Using only our worldly minds, we might see unfortunate things of this world, you know, poverty, racism, you know, all the ugliness. Might say that these are inevitable. We just need to work around them or get used to them. But Jesus is here to take away the sins of the world. He is said to so change the hearts of people that swords are beaten into plowshares. That means war is ended and food is abundant. Those sound like good things to me. It sounds like a beautiful thing. And so if we look at that statement, say, this is one of the things that the Messiah does, these swords and plowshares, war is ended, food is abundant, you can see it as being a good, beautiful thing. So faith can also tell us that it's true, because the three go together. We can look at the inflation happening today, how it's making it more difficult for some people to even get enough food. And we're seeing more and more people show up at our food pantry. Is this inevitable? Or does Jesus promise us a world where justice is in such balance that everyone has everything they need? We can look at this sense of justice and see that it's beautiful and good. Faith tells us that it's also true. So coming back to our critic, you might say, well, just because something is beautiful and good doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. This could be wishful thinking on your part. It's just impractical. But it's really didn't happen today. But I would say that it's not wishful thinking, because what we mean when we say the word God. When we say the word God, we're thinking of being of perfect goodness. Maximally perfect being. There's no sense of goodness greater than God, anything less than perfect goodness could not be worthy of the name God. So if we can conceive in our minds an idea of goodness or beauty that is beyond what we would otherwise ask for or imagine, it has to exist in God. That has to be something of God. Otherwise, our minds are somehow greater than God. And I think, well, God's right here, but boy, I can imagine a future that's even better than God. No, that's absurd. So the point of this is knowing that you can imagine something, or even have a thought in your mind, whether it's given by faith, through revelation, the Holy Scripture, church tradition, reason, if it is something that's good and beautiful, especially something that goes beyond the experience, we can be reasonably sure that it is also true. Because we can't imagine something that is even greater than God. So tomorrow, this country is going to be celebrating the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and his birthday. An often overlooked fact is the role that faith played in his activism and his ministry. By faith, King understood that all human beings were made in the image of God, and as such, they were due immense dignity. So when some were denied the right to vote, or drink from certain water fountains, or be able to sit down on a public bus, you could see these injustices as failure to live up to human dignity. By faith, we could look at the person of Jesus and recognize that although he was God and had all power and authority, the only way lasting change came about was by being the Lamb of God, just like John the Baptist said. And so King, reflecting on this, being influenced by this truth of faith, he developed his notion of nonviolent resistance and trained others to resist the injustice but not to return violence with violence, not to perpetuate the cycle of violence. By faith, he could understand that violence is something that inherently destroys, and saw it as unfitting to goodness and dignity to continue and to perpetuate any acts of violence. By faith, he could see that true freedom would only come with economic freedom, and at the end of his life, he was exploring ways to ensure that every human being had at least the minimum necessary to participate in society. Those are some of his later writings. Actually, quite interesting. I find faith so stimulating because it leads the human mind to consider things that are new and exciting and good and beautiful. Martin Luther King's speech, "I Have a Dream," was an expression of faith, that a dream was an aspect of faith. The things that are good, beautiful, and true. And being good is probably the most important part. When I think of Jesus taking away the sins of the world, by faith I can imagine a bright, beautiful future where people get along, where everyone is respected, where all people love one another. When I think of divine justice by faith, I'm overwhelmed with the possibility of the economy being transformed into a fellowship, where everyone participates, everyone contributes, and everyone benefits. When I think of human beings being made in God's image, and therefore worthy of immense dignity, I can't help but be filled with love and respect for my fellow human beings. Faith is something that changes everything, because faith elevates the way we think. Faith raises our minds to the point where we can see things that are true, good, beautiful, ways unimagined before. Faith is given as a gift, so that we can see not only with our human minds and senses, but we get glimpses of God's mind, and all of the goodness that God envisions for this world. Faith